It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the May 17th edition of the Gadget Grill. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the Gadget Grill.
Yes.
Australia's strangest tech radio show on the planet.
Hosted by...
That made no sense, did it? Australia's...
No, no.
Yeah, okay.
No.
I'm off to a good start.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. This we've had the CeBIT show, which is from Germany. Visit Sydney,
yes,
yeah, to show us technology
and
or
Taiwan
something.
Taiwan visits Sydney,
yeah,
and you go out for dinner and you tie one on while you're out there.
Wow, the bad jokes just start now, right?
Oh,
is that
of
it?
That's an
interesting way. Well, you might want to know what we have on the show, and we're actually talking. We're actually talking about CeBIT tonight. We're doing a wrap up of what actually was there, because if you weren't there, we'll tell you what you missed.
What you missed, yes.
Sort of.
We'll tell you what we're going to do for the other 55 minutes.
It'll be a very short segment, actually. We'll tell you what you missed. If you're not getting the gist of what we're saying, you probably didn't miss a lot. Which is why we're also going to fill up the rest of our time with IMAX.
We've got some interesting stuff on IMAX.
Yeah, because IMAX is appearing all over the place now, and they're not quite what you think they are. I mean, there's one at Fox Studios, and Greater Union have their G-Max, which aren't quite the same.
It doesn't hit the G-spot, does it?
Wow, the bad jokes just keep going.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay. And we're also going to talk later on about... Well, we got news, actually, first.
Yeah.
I'm not really starting the show off the way I normally do. I think I'm just kind of over the old formula. It was too formulaic for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's our show lined up. Do you have anything to say?
Hello. Good evening to our listener, Howie.
Yeah.
And what have you done this week, Lee?
I don't need... That's what you normally say.
I know.
I think...
Oh, you want me to start off something different?
Yeah, do something
okay,
different.
Well, that's the show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it.
Way ahead of time. That's kind of cool, actually. Should we get into some music before we talk ourselves out of a job?
Oh, yeah, with the pay we get here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. This is Dishwalla with Mad Life. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. In case you're listening to this in stereo on your radio and you want to listen to it, well, in stereo on your computer, head to www.radio2rdj.com.au. Com.au.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Radio2RDJ.com. And if you want to check out anything we're talking about on the Gadget Grill tonight or any other night or any of the other...
Or any other times of day.
Yeah, you know,
can check it in the morning if
right.
you want to.
Have we been on the air for 6 months now?
Almost
6 months. If you want to see any of the past shows or listen to them for the past 6 months...
You can actually watch them.
No, you can watch us, but you can't watch the shows. Occasionally,
you could sit there and watch the
podcast
watch
them
download.
On, yeah, that's right. Head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now, we've got some news. You want to start?
Oh, how about I start?
Okay, I order you to start.
Okay, for those listeners amongst you who use...
Well, you said listeners.
I know.
Plural.
I know, because I know that we have three listeners today.
Right. Okay. You mean me and someone else?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Nikki's listening in the other studio.
Is she?
I don't know. Nikki, are you listening in the other studio? No, she's not.
Okay.
Okay. So that's just two then.
Two listeners, right.
You and me.
Good to know.
Yeah. Hackers have launched a phishing attack on Facebook this week.
Poor people. I use Twitter now as opposed to Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I've always said that Facebook is not necessarily a very safe environment for people to go in.
No, you use LinkedIn, don't you?
I use LinkedIn, yeah. Which is a different one and slightly
it's Facebook
more
for business people.
That's right. But I know that there are certain people in the station who use Facebook and they swear that it's safe.
Just as safe as MySpace.
Yeah. Exactly. Facebook spokesman Barry Schnitt, that is S-C-H-N-I-T-T.
Okay, good.
Said on Thursday that the site was in the process of cleaning up damage from the attack.
Mm.
Facebook was blocking compromised accounts, and he declined to say how many accounts had been compromised. The hackers got passwords through what is known as a phishing attack, breaking into accounts of members and sending emails to friends and urging them to click on links to fake websites.
Sort of like the Commonwealth Bank sort of scandal, or emails that go around, except with Facebook intended. This is not the first time this has actually happened. It's been ramping up even more so lately.
That's right. And in fact, with Commonwealth Bank and with Myers and a couple of other places around Australia now, there's a new phishing attack that's going on where they're asking you to do a survey and promising you a
voucher or something.
A voucher or something worth $100.
I can see why people would be tempted by that. The thing you have to make sure is you're never giving out your details. I mean, if a company or like Maya or CommBank sends you something, they already have your details. They don't need you to send them out.
That's right.
You know, we got a Gadget Grill email this week from someone, and it was a CommBank thing, but it shows you how lazy spammers are getting when they don't even hide their addresses. Like, it was from the CommBank.
Lazy or just stupid?
Oh, I don't know. Possibly both. I mean,
I'd say stupid.
I didn't know the Commonwealth Bank were from Brazil. I mean, here was a Brazilian address.
Oh, this is the Brazilian Commonwealth Bank.
Oh, right, the Brazilian Commonwealth.
Yes. The Commonwealth of Brazil.
Good to know. Do you know, this week, HP recalled 70,000 laptop batteries.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, well, no. More like fury or firing or, I don't know, something. Can you think of a word that, quickly, that's fire-based?
Quite inflammatory.
There we go. They recalled these because apparently these cells can... Can, quote, overheat, posing a fire and burn hazard to consumers. And
ouch.
It gets even better. The fire and flames can cause minor property damage. My lap has what I would call major property. In fact, if you look...
Boasting again.
I am boasting. And if you actually look in spam, all the spam about Viagra is all about property development.
Yes, indeed.
So, I happen to consider that minor property damage, it would actually be pretty major property damage to me.
I'm not going to go there.
You probably shouldn't. It's probably illegal if you do.
Yes. However, on a related topic...
What, related to Viagra or property damage?
There is a new game that's on Twitter...
Oh,
and
a game on Twitter.
And it leaves Twitterati exposed. It's
okay.
A porn name. Okay.
I heard about this. Yes.
A web security expert is warning people to be careful with personal information they divulge on social networking sites. The game Twitter Porn Names started on Twitter this week, originating with the age-old formula of your pet's first name and your first street being your fantasy porn star name.
Oh, and of course, these are all things that can be used as passwords and,
exactly.
And can track where you are. Yes,
yeah.
You can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah. So, IT journalist Patrick Gray says he's not sure if this is a malicious attack, but it highlights how willing people are to share sensitive information which can be useful to potential fraudsters.
It is the problem. Most people aren't aware just how much. Maybe we should do a show on that.
Huh. Where have I heard that suggestion before?
I don't know. Maybe we should. Anyway, DARPA. Do you know who DARPA are? Yeah, most Australians don't know who DARPA are because they don't really exist in this country.
Isn't he an Indian chef?
Possibly. He could be on Iron Chef India.
Yeah.
The Defence Advanced Research Project Agency. Now, DARPA are basically the Pentagon's in America. The American Pentagon's will try whatever the hell we
want.
As opposed
to which other Pentagon?
The shape, the Pentagon. Yeah,
oh.
You know, because that's a shape too.
Right.
We do like our geometry.
This is not like getting shaped on your internet.
This is not like getting shaped. You get a Pentagon shape and all of a sudden it goes hazy. No. DARPA, they're basically the people responsible for, I think the term I want, and this is going to sound really probably not radio worthy, but the term for them is... like our show. DARPA are responsible for crazy shit. I mean, that's the easy way of saying it. So DARPA this week have said that they are working on telepathic communication for soldiers. It's not enough to have your soldiers radio in. Now they want to know what they're thinking.
This is not to be confused with telepathetic communication.
They're using a technology called EEG to read brainwaves, and then they're going to analyze the thoughts that are thought of before they reach
the vocal cords.
Have you ever
noticed
the first
four letters of the word analyze?
Yeah, I have. But theoretically, this is kind of logical. It's sort of like... My girlfriend has told me that I need a word filter because everything just comes out of my mouth without thinking about it. This is like that.
Yeah.
It analyzes what you're about to say before you say it, but how do you tell the soldiers to shut the hell up? And do you want your soldiers really saying, wow, that girl's hot, oh, it should be loading its gun?
Do you want me to answer that question?
No. Have you got some news?
I've got more, yeah. Google may have been hacked during the last week.
Ooh.
Between 8:40 and 9:55 Eastern Time in America.
That's not a big gap.
That's an hour and a quarter.
Yeah, it's not that big.
On, when was it? On Thursday.
Okay.
Did anything happen? Google went down.
Google went down. Google News, Gmail,
Google Calendar.
I was wondering why it was slow.
Yeah, the main page was reportedly disrupted, and they're thinking that it may have been possibly a hack job or a distributed denial of service attack.
Interestingly, also, Intel this week have been fined $1.45 billion. The AMD antitrust case, that's a lot of money. It's an antitrust from their competitor, AMD, and the European Union. Is it European Union? Or
Yes, European.
They fined Intel.
European Community.
Yeah, European Community, that's it. The EU, that's what we're going to say. Yes. The EU fined them $1.06 billion for violations of antitrust. And it's similar to the stuff that happened to Microsoft a few years ago.
Yeah, but Microsoft are not guilty of anything like
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I've got one more item.
I've got two more, so okay, I can, you can. Do you want to do? I'll do one more, and you can
do one.
Okay,
we'll share. It's nice to share.
It is nice to share. You hear about Canon this week?
Boom, boom. No,
no. Canon. If you've got a high end camera like the EOS 1D or 1D Mark IIIs and stuff, if you've got the Mark IIIs, $15,000 camera. Your camera might be leaking oil or lubricant all over your sensor. Which creates
That's uncomfortable.
Which creates ridiculously large dust bunnies and liquid marks and all sorts of things. And the company has offered to, this is Canon, have offered to repair the affected models for free. How nice of them!
How nice! We have a manufacturing defect and we'll repair it for free.
Well, at least they said it was free.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, there's been lots of problems with the Mark III, of course.
Yeah, they're not having good luck with that. Perhaps if they spent more time on actual R&D and testing before they released it, they'd have some luck there.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, the other item I've got relates to, remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the Pirate Bay and the court
That's right,
case
the court
about
case.
The Pirate Bay.
Is this the dollars thing?
This is the
this is really funny.
This is beautiful. What they've done is they've started up a denial of dollars attack on the lawyers.
You might want to explain what this is because it's hard.
For the lawyers for the people who were prosecuting the Pirate Bay.
Mm.
Basically, they're getting everybody to send one.
Everybody
krona,
means you, me, and your best friend.
Anybody who wants to yep. send one Swedish krona.
Yeah, Swedish krona.
Yeah,
it's $1 basically.
It's 13 cents actually.
Okay, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, to send one Swedish krona to the. To the lawyers who prosecuted the Pirate Bay.
How nice of them! We're donating money.
Donating money. Now the rub is that when you send one krona, every time they have to process this transaction, the lawyers get a processing fee. They get charged a processing fee of another krona.
So you pay them 13 Australian cents
and they've got to pay 13 cents.
They've got to pay 26 cents.
They've got to pay 13 cents to get your 13 cents.
Right.
Okay. But where it really gets funny is under Swedish law, if you then ask for a refund of your donation, of your payment to them, your 13 cents, then they, by Swedish law, have to refund that to you.
So they've
incurred a 13 cent fee,
and now they're asking for your money back. So in turn, they have to pay 26 cents in total.
They've got to pay 26 cents
all for two Swedish krona.
Yeah, for all of this, but of course, they've also got to have staff to process all of this.
Which they've got to pay for the staff.
They've got to pay for the staff, all the processing, all the paperwork involved, and every time they do it, it costs them for all of that work plus the 26 cents that. That you're hitting them with. It's a very interesting way of...
We're not encouraging that.
No, we're certainly not. we would never encourage anybody to do anything like
not.
That.
But still, it's an interesting thing. My last,
I think it's very creative.
It's very cool. You've got to wonder about the... They're really intelligent guys over at Pirate Bay.
Yes.
And right before that appeal starts, anyway. My last bit is on the Kindle, the Amazon Kindle, which Australians haven't gotten yet. Thanks, Amazon, for not paying attention to anyone. You know, it's still hard to get your Kindle online. You I want my money. Anyway.
Could we rub two Boy Scouts together? Does that count as kindling?
I don't think it counts as kindling. Two stories of Kindle this week. One is that Random House, the book publisher, who release on Kindle. One of the new features in Kindle 2 is a text-to-speech function. So basically every book you have becomes an audiobook. Which is okay, you know, it's right. Not, you don't need it read by Leonard Nimoy, but, you know, it still is audiobook. Well, Random House have dropped that on all of its, on all 40 of its titles at least, which means that you can't actually run text-to-speech. Basically, it looks like it undercut their audiobook. So that's an interesting issue that's propped up. The other one is a company from other side of the world, in England, it looks like, a guy named Neil Jones from a place called Interread is releasing a new device, a new ebook reader, called the Cooler. Cool-ER, or cool-ER. Cooler. And it looks a lot like an iPod. It's got colours, red, blue, silver, black, yada, yada.
What every good internet reader
needs. That's right. It uses e-ink like everything else. It runs on Linux, has 1 gig of storage and 128 meg of memory. And it's got apparently a battery life for 8,000 pages off a charge with SD expansion. Can read JPEG, PDF. It has a 2.5mm jack. It's going to cost $250 US, which is a lot cheaper than the $400 price of the Kindle, roughly. Yep. But the downside is it doesn't support the Kindle format. Now, they'll be fighting against Kindle in this market.
Well, that's a proprietary format.
That's right, and that's the problem, and that's what a lot of people are complaining about. But an e-ink device for $250 will compete nicely with the Sony device that is much more expensive.
Yes.
Anyway, it'll be an interesting battle. We have to get one of these in because e-books don't really exist here outside of the Dimix one, and the Dimix one is not very good at all. In fact, it's incredibly slow.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been my playing with it. Music time, right?
Yes.
Some indie rock from Brooklyn, actually. You know.
Brooklyn, as in the Hawkesbury River.
As in the place in New York, you know.
Oh,
okay, New York. This is TV on the Radio with Staring at the Sun.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
...88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, the only Gadget Grill that are doing CBIT this week.
Yeah, I think you can say that with a fair degree of certainty.
You know, when Gadget Grill actually walked around CBIT and we took some videos of stuff at CBIT.
Which is a real good thing for a radio show to do.
Absolutely, because YouTube are a primary audience for us, strangely. But anyway, we took
some
videos.
No, they're a secondary audience.
They're secondary, primary audience is radio.
The radio,
sorry.
Is a primary.
I apologize, listener. We saw an empty stand and we almost set up a stand there offering Gadget Grills to people.
You know, that would have been, we should have.
Grills that gadget. Or, wait, gadgets that grill? Or,
Actually, with the other thing that we did this week, we could have brought along a gadget gorilla.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I actually brought the gorilla with. We'll talk about that briefly later on.
Is that related to Bill's monkey?
No, it's not. CBIT, the technological show. I think
major technology show for Sydney. It's
sort of
banners
like,
all through downtown Sydney for it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's been promoted heavily this year, more so than ever last year. You might have gotten a lot of emails in your inbox about it. We certainly did.
We certainly did. Yes.
Yeah. In any case, it's sort of a lot of Australians used to consider CBIT to be Australia's CES because CBIT in Hanover, Germany, where it started, is basically a way of introducing technology to the world. Australia's one, or Sydney's one, is not that.
Did you see any technology that was actually introduced there?
No, I don't think I did, actually. I heard there was something from BlackBerry or from RIM, but it wasn't...
There was certainly...
Or there was a Plantronics device. Was
well,
it?
There were some lots of toys and stuff to see.
No, there weren't lots of toys.
There were a few toys there.
I think it should be said that we tried to go around on the first day to see how much furry crap we could get.
You did.
I did.
I was here stuck in the sweating over a hot control panel.
I tried to see how much free crap I could get.
I was actually in the
shed. I got mostly... pamphlets and lollies and stuff, the bad lollies at that. It's really disorienting and alarming, I guess, to know that CeBIT's...
I'm glad you said it's disorienting as opposed to
disorientating. Yes. CeBIT, which is Sydney's tech show, is more about businesses and selling other businesses to people than anything else. It would be nice if CeBIT would actually warn people ahead of time that this is not for consumers at all. Like, there's a couple things there for consumers, I guess.
Yeah.
The tech stands on computer stuff, but very little there. I mean,
Years ago, there was a lot of stuff there that was for the consumer, and you could actually buy things there.
It's been getting weaker and weaker.
This year, there was nothing. The only thing you could buy was a lousy cup of coffee and a muffin.
It was a pretty lousy cup of coffee, wasn't it? You know, it was actually, there were a couple things, you know, if you're a consumer, that'd be interesting at, but. I mean, I actually think even the promo girls are getting worse, to be honest. I thought some of them looked like they were off the slave trade. I was really worried about that.
Especially the one that was about, 87 years old?
Yeah, that was a bit disturbing,
She was and she refused to give you a lap dance.
I didn't ask. I really didn't ask, but, you know...
I did. I asked her to give you a lap dance, and she said, him, no way.
Oh, right.
She said, I want him.
What, she pointed at you?
No, she pointed at...
Conroy?
No.
There were a few things. Like, we're actually going to talk about it next week. Some of the GPS technology that was being shown was actually kind of interesting. I particularly liked the GPS and the video camera. I thought that was kind of cool.
There was some interesting stuff there on there.
And I'm now going to buy a microscope camera because after CeBIT, some of the stuff I saw, just a few things, really cool. But we walked around and we saw, I guess, a total of four things that were interesting.
Maybe.
Three halls.
Yep. However, I do have one very, very interesting story that did come up on CeBIT.
Oh, really?
Yes. McDonald's has earmarked potential changes to seating plans in some restaurants. Is that what they call them?
Yeah, McDonald's restaurants.
To prevent free Wi-Fi users from monopolizing seating.
Okay. Why don't they just buy a packet of fries? They're fine, right?
I know. Anthony Rosenkowitz, the IT project manager at McDonald's Australia, said the restaurant chain had exceeded 1 million user sessions on its free Wi-Fi service since launching it November last year. In the first month since the initial rollout to 92% of restaurants, it's recorded some 305,000 sessions. The average session time is around 35 minutes, whereas the average patron would normally only spend about 10 minutes in the restaurant.
I don't see the problem with that. It takes me an hour to get through a small packet of fries. I'm not seeing the problem here.
Well, you're not an average patron.
Yes, I am. Oh. I'm an average patron.
Yeah. Its advantages, including that no purchase is necessary, is that there are no time constraints on usage, although usage is capped at 50 megabytes per session. And that there are no voucher codes required to log on.
Their problem, not mine.
Those advantages are causing people to just sit in the restaurant and use the internet.
Me personally, I'd feel a bit guilty, so I'd buy a packet of fries. And to me, at $1.90 for a small packet of fries, that's not really a big loss to me.
No, it's not.
But that's their problem.
Yeah,
I mean, if they want to put constraints in, they probably should.
Well, they're certainly entitled to complain about it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out how to rearrange the deck chairs in the restaurant. So that,
only offer food to the upper level, you know, McDonald's Deluxe.
Oh, there you go. So you could have some top drawer.
That's
some
where
top
you
shelf.
Get McDonald's. You know the difference between a McDonald's Deluxe cheeseburger and a regular cheeseburger?
The Deluxe is has got more on it.
It's
cheaper.
It's cheaper, yeah. And whereas the regular one's 5 cents more and has less on it. It's disturbing.
I know.
I think when my brother ordered one, he actually wanted the crappy one.
Oh, there you go.
And he got the good one. Anyway, if you didn't go to CeBIT this week, don't worry, you didn't miss out on anything. In fact, you probably didn't waste your time. Hopefully it's better next year, but I seriously doubt it.
Okay.
Music?
Music. This is Sarah.
Are we playing
this for Sarah, or are we just going to play Sarah?
We're just playing Sarah. This is Sarah McLachlan live with Possession.
There we go.
jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
At 8.1 Radio 2 RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill, the only Gadget Grill that will talk about the IMAX, because we're the only Gadget Grill anyway.
Yeah, and IMAX. Last week we mentioned that we'd gone to see the new Star Trek movie.
Oh, that movie kicked ass! I just got to say, I want to see it again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And we mentioned that we saw it at the IMAX at Fox.
Yeah.
And while we're at the theatre, we were talking about it, and I mentioned to Lee that this doesn't really seem like a proper IMAX to me, because while the screen was big...
It's bigger than a regular screen.
Bigger than a regular screen. It struck me as not being IMAX big.
That's right.
So we've done a little bit of research on that this week, and we've come up with something very, very interesting.
I guess the thing to talk about quickly is that IMAX is meant to immerse you. It's not just the screen size, it's also the experience. And
that's right.
Most Australians probably aren't aware that IMAX started as OmniMax and was actually a circular screen. So you still had the stadium seating where it was, you know, on a sort of vertical, very heavy vertical alignment, as you have
at Darling Harbour,
yeah,
City,
as if you're
or the IMAX in Dallas.
Oh yeah, as if you're walking up a giant hill and you're sitting against that. Well, the IMAXs they're putting in these cinemas aren't quite like that. For instance, while the screen you get is bigger, which is 8.5 by 18 meters, which is
that's roughly the size of a typical, what they're now calling an IMAX theatre.
An IMAX theatre screen, which is larger than a regular size screen. The IMAX screen at Darling Harbour and most of these places is 23 by 30 metres.
30 metres high. That's about 90-odd feet, nearly 100 feet high.
No, that's length. That's length. It's 23 metres high.
It's 30 metres high.
Okay, maybe.
Believe me, 30 okay. metres high. And what's the height of the new IMAX? 28 feet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
28 feet versus 90 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
That is one hell of a difference.
And so it's more like 100. You've got 28 by 76 is the comparison there. So,
yep.
So yeah. Now, what you're comparing is 8.5 metres to 23 metres.
Yeah.
In height there. And that's a huge difference. It's not just that, though, because IMAX is about immersion. So the problem with these G-Maxes and Hoyts IMAXes is that you're still sitting in a regular cinema. And if you're far back... It's just like watching a regular cinema.
That's right.
The audio's, you know, the screen's bigger, and that's
great. The screen's
bigger
and the sound is a lot better,
When you go to an IMAX, your position is rather relative. It doesn't really matter where you are, because the way it's been designed, you sitting in that giant hill facing the screen, it's kind of irrelevant. You've all got this massive screen in front of you to immerse you in the action or whatever's happening, and that's not what a Hoyts IMAX or a Greater Union G-Max is.
Yeah. Now, to get down to tin tacks, the research that we've done suggests very strongly that when IMAX came out with this new, and it's IMAX Digital that we're talking about, the theatres wanted to make it known to their customers that this is IMAX Digital. They wanted to distinguish themselves from the true IMAX so that the consumer was aware of what they were and or were not getting. That if you're going to a proper IMAX, you would get the really, really big screen with the big sound and the stadium seating, as opposed to if you went to IMAX Digital, you would get what you were getting at, for instance, the IMAX at Hoyts Entertainment Quarter.
Mm.
Now, we're not saying that there's anything wrong with the IMAX at the Entertainment Centre, Entertainment Quarter. What we are saying is that it's simply not real IMAX. It's IMAX Digital, which is nothing at all like the 70mm film stock on which proper IMAX is shot. And I think it's very bad of IMAX to...
It's very bad of Hoyts to not as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, Hoyts are probably bound by the agreement with IMAX.
I guess the other thing to me is, and this is an easy way of wording it, because as movies start to get more digital, you'll find that a lot of movies are shot on these high-res digital formats. So we're talking 2,000, 4,000, 8,000 resolutions, both, you know, cameras that I think Panavision are making and Red and JVC. If you project these lower res movies on the IMAX, all you're doing is blowing up the pixels and making the experience less good. I mean, yeah. that's not IMAX movies. That's movies blown up.
Apparently, if you look at the IMAX digital, you can actually see some grid patterns and so on from the digital.
We actually could, and I've seen Dark Knight at the IMAX, and the ones that didn't, you know, you could really see it. So
yeah,
that's it. Anyway, we've got an Australian song now. He's not Australian. He's Scottish, right?
Yeah,
Colin Hay, this is from Men Work, this is Down Under. Radio 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, my name is Lee Stark.
And I think I'm still Gary Stark. I'm not sure about that, but we'll check in a moment.
And the information's coming through, and unfortunately you are. I apologise.
Yeah, okay.
And where the Gadget Grill.
It's written indelibly on the back of my sweatshirt.
That explains the Made in China sticker there as well.
That's right, yes.
Anyway, you're listening to the Gadget Grill. We just talked about IMAX. And if you heard earlier that CBIT was pretty... relatively uninteresting. One of the things that was interesting is what we're talking about next week, which is GPS technology. We actually spoke at great length. Thank you for that. So
my
I have
pleasure.
To edit all that down.
Always glad to. Yep.
We spoke at length with some of the people from Garmin and
Navtech,
the people
Sony
who make these things,
and Nokia.
I got to admit, some of the technology in that car was pretty cool.
Oh, I was very impressed with the van. That was
you want that van?
Oh, I. No, I don't want the van.
I just want
the
technology on the van.
Yes.
Yeah. It was sort
five
of like
forward-facing cameras on the roof, one rearward-facing
camera.
Hush,
give them
camera.
a glimpse of next week.
Yes.
Next week we're talking about that technology as we talk to Garmin and Navtech and all these other places that deal with GPS. Right now we're going to get you into some Wynton Marsalis. Is that playing yet?
It is.
It's playing underneath there. Here's some baseline with Wynton Marsalis' Snoopy and Woodstock.
And we're going to see you next week. It's going to be good night from him. And it's good night from me. I'm Gary Stark. That was Lee Stark.
Goodbye.
And we will see you on the Gadget Grill next Sunday night, 2RDJ FM 88.1 at 9 o'clock.
Have a good week, all.